You were singing crossing that river. I thought God brought them to Jordan when it overflowed its banks. And even in those last hours, it will be by faith that we cross that stormy river. If we do not live by faith daily, do not expect it in that hour, but it is needful. Every day do I have true saving faith. Am I in the family of God, not religion, but His family? If you'll turn with me this morning to the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation, I guess switching gears a little bit, dealing with Christ and the goodwill of Him that dwelt in the bush. We'll look a little at what John saw here. I know one thing, that you will not hear that which you have not heard before. I don't come with anything new. Like John, he said, I don't write unto you because you don't know. I write because you do know. And I speak to you that which you do know. But may the Lord be pleased to help all of us and challenge us in these dark, very wicked times. And I want to speak to you from verse 7 in particular, reading some of the others though, about Satan loosed out of his prison. Would you bow with me as we seek our Father's face? Heavenly Father, we're thankful for grace bestowed upon us that we can know Thee, that we can know not as the devils know the Lord Jesus, that we can know Him, the suffering, crucified, dead Lamb of God. But this day, raised to the highest pinnacle of glory. But Lord, it is a needful thing that we see Him there in life. It is needful that we hear . But that is a voice beyond that of the preacher, Lord. It is the voice of Thy Spirit in individual hearts. So give us hearing ears. Give us an understanding heart. And be merciful to us this day in instructing. May our Lord be glorified in our midst. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Satan shall be loose. But beginning with verse number 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit. Just hold your place there, but I want to read to you from the 9th chapter. And the 5th angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key. So the angel here must be the Lord of all. And the angel in chapter 9 must be Lucifer, Satan, that old red dragon, the deceiver. This angel in chapter 20 has the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. He cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So our Lord has bound him, verse number 2, bound him for 1,000 years. Now, when he bound him, what stopped? I mean, he's still Satan. He's still out to destroy you, the believer. What stopped when Christ bound him? That which he had been doing since the fall of Adam, deceiving the nations. So from Adam to the close of the Old Testament, one nation, a lot of nations, 7 in Canaan, but one nation on the earth had light. And others, all other nations, were under the deception of Satan, the wicked one. Now there were proselytes, Gentiles that were brought in. Tim mentioned one, and I was thinking about her yesterday. She had word. She hid the spies. She believed them, brought her family in her home, and tied that scarlet thread or rope cord around the windows. And Hebrews that you had read to you, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. And if you will go to Matthew 1, you will find that this child of God is in the lineage of Christ. There was the widow at Zarephath that Elijah resided with for some time. There was Naaman the leper. Both the widow and Naaman were outside the camp of Israel. And that's what irritated and infuriated the Jews when Christ mentioned those two and said, to them was sent the word of the Lord. And they were delivered, but the religious Jews thought that no one outside their little religious camp could be in the family of God. So we know that we are of God, 1 John 5, but it doesn't use that there, it says, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now keep in your place here, turn with me to Revelation, well you don't have to, yeah you do, we're coming back, I hope, later on. Just mark it somehow. Revelation chapter number 12. Verse number 3, it speaks about the great red dragon. Verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. That had been his work since Adam and Eve brought two boys into the world. He was out to destroy the Lord. He knew that the second person in the Trinity would be a man. And so the first two boys that were born, because Eve kind of gave it away, and he heard, a man has been given to me by God. And he thought, well, that's got to be the lineage through which Christ comes. So he had him become a murderer. Down through time, he was out to destroy, if he could, that lineage wherein Christ would be born. He's ready to devour. Even when the Lord was born, he moved Herod to destroy all of the little boys 2 years old and younger, thinking he'd get him this time. But verse number 5 in our chapter here, and she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. She goes to the wilderness. By the way, in the Song of Solomon, where the question was asked, who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness leaning on her beloved? She's always, always done that. Now verse number 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So he has been busily at work night and day in our time frame to deceive as many as he can. He's done a pretty good job in deceiving the whole world. All were deceived, except in Israel, but not even all in Israel. Romans 9:16, they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. In the nation Israel, God had a people, but the rest of them were deceived. There were times in the true Israel of God that the lamp of God was so near out that you could just get a little flicker of it here and there. When Israel abandoned the true God, joined themselves to other nations, which the Lord forbid that they do. He said, this is what's going to happen. Moses told them that, when I'm gone, your boys are going to marry the girls of other nations. The girls of other nations are going to be married, and the boys of other nations are going to be married to your girls. I know what's going to happen. And sure enough, and other gods were brought in to the camp of Israel. They had joined to other nations. They had served their God. But God has always reserved a people. Always. Even when the light was almost out, God had a people. One instant, the young lad, a wife, praying for a child. She said, Lord, if you'll give him to me, I'll give him back. And probably about 12 years of age, she brought him there to the temple. Eli had corrupted the priesthood of God. And she brought a little lad there. And he ministered unto the Lord in Eli's place of residence. Now listen to what it said there in 1 Samuel 3. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. What made it that way? Nobody heard it. God wasn't speaking. And the people of God had become like one traveling in a desert, and the lower the water gets, the more precious it becomes. And you protect it, or you would if you were there. Protect it. Now the reason that the Word of God had become precious in those days is because there was no open vision. 1 Samuel 3. No open vision. That is, there was no divine communication breaking forth. That's what the word open means. In those days, God had quit talking. But he had a little lad down there that he was going to speak to. But Samuel didn't know his voice, and he kept running to Eli. He said, what do you want? I didn't call you, son. Went back. I know I heard your voice. And finally, Eli, that's been so long out of the will of God and lost all discernment, finally he realizes that's God calling that boy. And then the word of God was spoken through Samuel for years. But then, as always, corruption invades the camp of God, the church of God, and no voice from heaven. And all of a sudden, a man that we'd never heard of, unknown, burst on the scene. And he said, there shall be no rain are new except by my word. Now, Deuteronomy 32, God said, my doctrine shall drop as rain and my speech shall distill as dew. And Elijah said, God's not going to give you any rain or any dew. And that was due to the judgment of God against Israel. And what God always does in time of judgment is go hide thyself by the brook Kerith. He was there and there in the widow's house, Zarephath, for over 3 years. God, through Elijah, worked that great miracle on the mount there. Elijah thought surely the children of God will return to their Lord. But it was not to be so. Israel went back into sin. Time and time again throughout the old economy, God would raise up a judge when they had gotten in critical shape and he would deliver them, then they'd go back in bondage. So as it is accurately said, the one thing about history is that we never learn from history. And the entire world lieth in wickedness. But even then, there was a little light in the prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Hosea, the minor prophets. A little light. Until God finally closed his mouth in Malachi. Said, you're not going to hear from me again, but God will send his messenger who shall prepare the way of the Lord. So for 400 years, nobody heard. Heaven was silent. Now, God still had some children in these times. Zacharias, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, her to-be husband. He still had some children, but the only thing you got when you went out to the temple of God or the synagogue of God, you just got a man standing up telling you what he thought God would say or was saying. But he didn't have the word from the lips of the Lord to carry to the people. God remained silent. All light, that light that was in Israel was hidden. And then one day coming up out of the wilderness, God raised up John in the personification of Elijah. Now folk, the religious world is still looking today. And even in Christ's day, they were looking for Elijah to come again. And you remember the disciples coming down off the Mount of Transfiguration, and they asked the Lord, Lord, why say the scribes that Elias must come first? And Jesus said, Elias truly shall come first, and he will restore all things. But I say unto you, Elias is come already. He's been on the scene. He has proclaimed the message of God to a nation. The harlots and the publicans, they entered into the kingdom of God, but not the scribes and the Pharisees. And so the first message since the close of the Old Testament, one day that forerunner, Elijah back on the scene in the person of John. Now, Elijah didn't become John. John wasn't Elijah. God just said, that's you that would have it. Elias is already here. But one day that forerunner, that messenger from God stood And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." That's Him. Look at Him. Now if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter number 12. Accusing Christ of casting out demons or devils by Beelzebub. Now in verse number 28, "But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" That strong man, the great deceiver of the world, the one that had the world lying in wickedness, was Satan himself. Jesus entered into the temple. He took a whip and he run out the money changers and he overturned the tables, but he set all the animals free. That's that angel in Revelation 20 that came down from heaven and bound him 1,000 years. Now children, don't be looking for a 1,000 year reign of Christ on the earth at the end of time. It began when he cast out the devil, bound him. That's when the gospel began to go. See, it had been locked up in Israel, consigned only to the nation of Israel, except proselytes here and there. Now, at the close of his ministry, our Lord said to Satan, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." So Satan was turned loose to move the religious crowd against Jesus, and they had him crucified. And hell thought it had won that day. Their tormentor was dead. I can imagine the great shout with all the demons when Jesus breathed that last breath. And they took him down from the cross sometime later and buried him. But 3 days later, to the shock of the devil, he rose again. But before he was crucified in Matthew, no, after he was crucified and risen, he met with the disciples and closing out, he said, "Okay, fellas, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Now, the God man, Jesus Christ, he had all power. But he gave that up, laid that aside. And now as the Son of Man, having fulfilled the law of God in its completeness and in its perfection, that God man ascended to the throne. But before he did, he met with the disciples and said, "All right, all power has been given unto me by my Father. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Now that's the beginning of the reign of Christ, that 1,000-year reign, when the gospel, beginning at Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the world, the gospel circled the globe. Satan was bound. But at the end, he was loosed out of his prison. And now he has gone back to his original work when Christ freed him. The angel freed him from prison in Revelation 20. He's gone back to his original work. What was that? Deceiving the world. Deceiving all nations. So in Revelation 9, the pit was opened. That angel was given the key to the bottomless pit. And from the bottomless pit came all these creatures that we've said they were this and that, and we've made them little booger bears, but it was just false prophets and false preachers being set free by Lucifer, by Satan. And in Revelation 9, the sun was darkened by the smoke that came up out of the pit, and the locust came up out of the smoke. And now you and I are living in that day. If it's not the little season, folks, how awful that will be. But I believe we are living in that day when Satan has been loosed, and false prophets and false preachers have filled the airwaves and stand in the pulpits across the land declaring a popular gospel that the people kind of like. It's not offensive to anybody. And if the gospel does not offend a sinner, then it wasn't applied by the Spirit of God. Now listen to what Isaiah said in chapter 57. The righteous perisheth. That doesn't mean that he was sent to hell. No, it means escape or flee or to go astray from that where he had been, not the righteous way. The righteous man perisheth, and it affects nobody. No man layeth it to heart. The merciful man is taken. Nobody considers that the righteous was taken away from the evil to come. Name me some preachers. Well, they're so... No, children. Well, you're assuming a place of authority above all that. No! Not doing it. Not that. But just name somewhere somebody that's a true gospel, Christ honoring, God glorifying man. David said, prayed in Romans 12, "Help, Lord, the godly man ceaseth and the faithful fail." Micah 7, "The good man is perished out of the earth. There's none upright." God's removing. I'm not saying that a false prophet and all preachers in the pulpits are bad men. No, there are a lot of good men there. But they just were taught in Bible colleges or seminaries how to. So they know. Now this darkness throughout the world could not be, it's impossible for it to have come upon us without true messengers having been taken from our midst and others hidden. The gospel under the anointing of the Holy Spirit dispels darkness. It's like that sun of righteousness coming up in the morning. It just shines everywhere. But when God shuts the mouths of these and hides them, then there is no light. What's going to creep back in? What has crept in? Darkness. All you hear, everywhere you go, just turn on the news, and listen for 30 minutes. Corruption everywhere, from the highest office in the land down to the little towns and small cities. It's everywhere. Because there's not enough truth under the unction of the Holy Ghost to offset the darkness. The wicked one has been set free to deceive the whole world. I don't know. That there is hope for our land. I don't know. I wish I could say, sure, I believe that there is. But just give me one little sign out there, one that would provide me with some hope that God was going to come back on the scene. What about these young folks here? God instructing them through you, teaching them, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, I don't even want to think about the world that they're going to be under. Almost 3/4, or close to it, of a century ago, a little man that was considered by those that knew him a prophet of the Lord. He said, America has a multitude of scribes that get up in the pulpits and tell you what they've read. But all the prophets are gone. Now, folks, he wasn't using a prophet in the sense that God's got some new revelation. No, he was using it in the sense of a man that hears from God and carries to the people a message straight from the Lord's mouth. He said, all those are gone. Now most folk would say, and you would say, well, there's thousands of preachers today. Yeah, but about all you hear is scribes telling what they've read and what they've studied. Well, they can present a good outline. Got far better delivery than I ever thought about having. But all they've got to say is just a word to your head. It's just information. A congregation might have a man that dares not stop in the outer court, but ventures all the way into the holy, just he and the Lord. He listens, and he hears, and he finds out what God has to say to the few that might listen. But even if he is, that doesn't make him a prophet to your heart. Because you have no prophet unless the Lord speaks to your heart. None. I mean, how many heard Elijah? Well, maybe a few. Or Enoch. Or Noah. How many heard him? God will destroy the world by flood. All you've got to do is just stop in silence, give a moment to see the condition we're in, and you can come to no other than we're in the little season, Satan having been loosed. If it wasn't so, we couldn't have folk in Congress that are there because they got a loud mouth. And they tell folk, the younger generation, what they want to hear. I don't know how in the world they have become so dumb as to think that we can keep giving out money and run the workforce because the government has taken on a role that God did not give it. What about the widows? Used to be the church looked after them. But even that was if that widow had no children or no nephews, no other family members, then that became the church's responsibility. And now the government has invaded our place and said, no, we'll take care of everybody. Paul said, nobody eats if they don't work. And the government said, we'll take care of that. We'll pay you to stay home. And that which is so frightening is there is no open vision. That is no divine communication from God that has burst forth on the scene. We don't have a scarcity of Bibles in our land. You can pick one up just about any place, home, church. You can read it. But that doesn't mean you heard what it had to say. For all God had to do to bring darkness over our land and was to just stop talking, do nothing, remove the prophets, and Satan, being loose, went out to deceive the whole world throughout the Old Testament. Then the gospel age comes where he was bound. But Revelation 20, he was loosed again. Now I know that the minister is supposed to preach the word, all of it. I know that the pulpit is to be devoted to what thus saith the Lord. I know that a true prophet will find from the mouth of God that the Lord has for his people there. I know that he will follow the direction of the Spirit of God in his day. And he will not depend upon the Puritans and the Pilgrims. And he will not depend upon old men said, godly men that had a word from God to their generation. Oh, they can be a help. But we're not living in that day. We're not living in that day when the gospel has from time to time just been as a wildfire. Jonathan Edwards, and after him there was George Whitfield. And the smallest crowd that Whitfield probably ever preached to was 10,000. It wasn't a crusade like evangelists today can organize and get folk to walk down the aisles to the front. It wasn't that. The Wesleys come along and follow him. the 1800s. You've got Spurgeon there, and you've got others, and you've got those in America, and then the 1900s, and you get down to the middle of that, and the lie has faded, so it's almost all gone. Because Satan has been loosed, verse 8, Revelation 20, to go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. You know what's going to wind this thing up? Verse number 9. All these that have followed the great deceiver. Verse 9, and they went up to on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. And the beloved city and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured him. When a little group that God still has a church in America, here a few, there a few, but it's going to keep encroaching darkness out there. The government is going to keep encroaching, even telling what can be said and what can't be said from the pulpit. And if we preach the Word of God in its entirety, we are a prejudiced people, a prejudiced preacher. No, we're not really. We're just saying God made a woman to be a woman, and God made a man to be a man. How can our laws now be so that a young girl without the permission of her parents or young boy can decide that they got here in the wrong body and they want it changed? I don't think it's down here yet in this state, but there are some states where that's true. And oh, if you could hear, after all the pain and all the surgeries, some of them say what a terrible, awful mistake they made. We, the people of God, have authority to raise our children as we see fit, pleasing unto God. It's nobody's business out there. Nobody's. But the wicked one has brought such darkness upon the land that moms and dads won't even know until the procedures have started. Well, I think the Lord has kept me pretty safe in the bounds without attacking too much and making too much known from the pulpit. I'm here to declare the Lord. Sometimes you just stop and say, this is the condition in which we live. It was brought about because Satan has been loosed. Now let me read to you. 1 verse or 2 that go along with verse 9 of Revelation 20. That's Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38, I can't read just one, but beginning with verse number 9. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Now this is what was taking place there in Revelation. Satan and all his cohorts were encamping our closing in on the camp of the people of God. This is it. Verse number 10, thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, Israel. Now this is not anything to do with the nation of Israel. It's to do with the Israel of God. I'll go up to the land of unwalled villages. I'll go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. I'll go up to take the spoil and to take a prey. Turn thine hand upon desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are now gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods and dwell in the midst of the land. And he goes on, verse 14, therefore, son of man, prophesy and say, God, thus shall the Lord God, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when my people of Israel dwell safely shall thou not know it. You're going to come out of your place, out of the north parts, thou and many people with you, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. They're going to encompass the camp of God, the children of God, the Israel of God. They think, now we got it. We're fixing to wipe the church off the face of the earth. That's that little season coming to its climax, when Satan has got all his hosts to come against the people of God. And the Lord says, no. Oh no. And fire comes down from heaven to destroy them. Your only safety is in that little chamber Isaiah 26 talks about. Come ye apart, children. And I assure you, if you don't find it daily, the world is going to gobble you up, and you become so entangled in all this. But your safety lies in Christ, that you don't find on Sunday mornings. Hopefully you do, but you find every day of the week. I would say find every day of the week, but I'll change that, because you're going to go through some days when the Word seems like there's nothing there for you. Sometimes even the preacher has nothing to say to you. But hopefully the next time you gather, our Lord will. It is upon us. Actually, there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. Well, you can arm yourselves and all that. Well, you can't stop the force of the wicked one. Your only safety is in that little chamber. Come ye apart, my people. Enter into the little chamber. Let's just sit down and you rest there. May the Lord help us, folk, to know the truth of Satan loosed.